Welcome, Tyler Young. Come on up, Tyler.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that. Almost forgot my water. All right. You know what's crazy is I was preparing for this, which I love teaching from movies, Disney movies. I've done it for years at youth. I just love it. But I was preparing for this, and God started talking to me about, like, just to appreciate the to talk about the pastors before I started. And I was like, well, that's a little weird. I don't want to be that guy, you know. Hey, yeah, you can. No, but, and then they're like, yeah, it's Pastor Appreciation Week. I'm like, oh, I already had it typed up. So that was from God, guys. But I was thinking about our pastors and how lucky we are as a church to have y'all. I remember when I was a young guy first coming here, and it's crazy. My parents were the youth ministry leaders, and I got to watch firsthand how these guys love people. And the way they care about our congregation and them making decisions out of that. And I was just thinking, like, I couldn't imagine raising my boys out without them in my life. Like, guys, y'all, I know, you know, I don't say it often, but y'all really mean a lot to me. Y'all've definitely made an impact on my life. So now that that's out of the way. Awkward, guys. Let's move on. Quick move. I guess I'll talk about myself a little bit. I've been raised in this church for probably about over 10 years. I know that much. I can't remember the exact day. But getting to grow up with a lot of guys here and people who still come to church, grow up in our youth ministry. Now me and my wife, like they said, head up the youth ministry, and we just love getting to pour into those kids. I've got 3 boys. Well, I got 2 boys, 3rd on the way, hopefully. I'm pulling for a boy here. 3 would be pretty awesome. And they beat me up all the time and hurt me and whatnot. And so we wrestle. It's just awesome. And so, but my main thing that I just love doing is just getting to talk to people and just see people when you talk to them, get to encounter God, right? And that's just my passion. That's always been my passion ever since I started actually coming here. So it's just, I'm excited to be here today. I'm going to explain, I meant to do a video before today on why I choose, like, to pull from Disney movies, but I wasn't able to. I was at work and just couldn't get to it. But basically why I like pulling from Disney movies is I think the way they can communicate to kids to where they like and enjoy movies, they have to speak to something inside them. And that's, you know, like, come to God like a little kid. Like, I believe they truly speak the gospel straight to these kids in a way they can understand. And so what happens is God places that in their lives. If anybody has kids, you know they watch those movies like 100 times a day, right? They're like, I don't know how many times I've seen this movie. And then, surely, sooner or later, I had to pull something from God. No. But, like, they watch these movies, and God instills the stuff. So what I enjoy doing is watching these movies, pulling what God is saying about it, and I get to pull it out, and it's a foundation that's been in their life, right? You know, there's something in all the movies. Like, I look at Toy Story movies and all these movies, and I can pull teachings from all of them because God's just flowing through them, right? I believe that God's laid a foundation in generations through these movies to understand the gospel when it's preached them, right? So why I chose this movie specifically is my kids were watching 100 times. No, I'm just kidding. But it really speaks to, I think, the moment we're in as a church. So as I was watching this movie, I was like, man, how many times in my life have I felt like overwhelmed and pressure and stuff like that? Like just feeling this overwhelming sense of pressure in my life recently, in the last 5 years, I would say, especially the last 5 years for me personally. And God started speaking to me. This movie was just on in the background. I was like, God, just looking back at these 5 years, I feel pressure. I feel pressure. You can even see it in our church at times, right? You can see pressure. You can see this overwhelming sense of, and at times it could look like fear, anxiety, whatever it may be. But you can look at people and just sense that, like, something's going on there. And that movie was playing. And so God just started speaking me through that. So that's why I chose this movie. I'm going to pray real quick, and then I'm going to get started, okay? So, dear God, I thank you for this awesome day today, Lord. I thank you for just giving me the opportunity to come and just share what you laid on my heart, Lord. I ask that today, no matter what happens when we leave here, we understand the value that you have in us and just who we are to you, Lord. And I thank you for everyone that came and who's watching on live. And I just ask that you just walk with me through this. Amen. All right, so while we get started, I'm going to give you a slight overview. Those of you who have seen the movie or watched the movie before, you kind of have an understanding of it. I'm going to kind of talk to you about it for those who weren't there. So basically in this movie, what happens is there's a tragic event in their family. And out of that, they get this, they call it the miracle. A candle appears, the house appears, and they start living in the house. And as they grow older, at a certain point, they all get magical gifts. And through these gifts, they help the city around them. And so I'm going to go through each person's gift, what they got, okay? So there's Louisa, and she was strong. And she was given this strength, she was given this boldness, this confidence. And she used it throughout the city. She, like, was able to push over buildings back in place. She could carry 20 donkeys in the movie, as you see. Like, that's ridiculous. And she's able to just do all these things, and she uses it in the city constantly, right? She's hardworking. And sometimes I'm like, I was writing this out, reading it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've always felt like being hardworking, strong, all this. You got to just keep going. You don't get a break and all that. Next one I looked at was Bruno. And Bruno has the ability to see the future. They'd say, hey, what do you see about this? And he'd see the future. And he'd tell them the picture he saw. And it's just funny. That characteristic just cracks me up whenever, like, him in the movie. It's just so funny. You got to watch it. And then there's the aunt. The aunt, she controlled the weather. And so she controlled it with her emotions, how she was feeling, all this. Whether she'd be down, it'd be rainy. If she'd happy, it's sunny, right? And she used that in different ways to assist the city. There was Dolores, who could hear everything around her, everyone said. And they said she could hear a mile away, right, in the movie. Camilo, I'm not great at pronouncing names. Like, people, I work at a fire department, and I have to type up people's names all the time. I'm like, you're going to have to spell this one. They're like, Ben, B-E-N. I'm like, oh, yeah, give me some grace here, okay? But so this guy, he shapeshifts into different people. There's one point in the movie to where they were trying to hang a banner, and they said, hey, we need another so-and-so. And he pops up, and he is tall enough to hold the banner. That would be me. Like, I'd be the banner dude. One kid talks to animals. He gets actually the gifting in the movie. It shows how the ceremony goes, right? Julieta, I think. She heals people with her baking. That's the mom of the main character. And so she bakes stuff. It shows, like, some person had a broken arm, ate a biscuit, and boom. I want that ability, right? Pastor Harvey has that ability. It's just not baking. I haven't had anything Pastor Harvey's saying. I'm pretty sure it would probably be good. Surely. Isabella, she's like, it reminds me of Mary Poppins when she measures herself practically perfect in every way. I'm like, I'm not Mary Poppins for sure. And then there's the main character. Gosh, I have such a hard time pronouncing this name. I think it's Mirabelle. I'm going to go with that. That's good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mirabelle. She went up to her door and it just disappeared, right? She didn't, by all the community standards and the family, she didn't have a gift, right? She was just like the people who married in, they didn't have a gift, right? And why is that so important? It's because they all had a specific special gifting that they were giving. And they thought, and I highlighted this in my notes, as you watch the movie, you can see that they're using their gifting, but something's wrong, right? Something's wrong in each individual person, right? And so I was like, God, you're speaking to me about something. What's going on? Because as we go through our life, we all have giftings and natural talents and natural abilities that God's blessed us with. And yet, I know personally people who I grew up with who have amazing giftings straight from God, like God's anointed them to do stuff, and they just, you see a progression. And finally, they're to the point where, like, they, one person I used to be really close to, my best friend, one of my best friends, he's so far from God. He, for a period there, he was on drugs. He was, and I'm like, what happened? He had this gifting, he had this anointing, he had all these words. So how did he get from here to here in a matter of a few years? And God started talking to me about this movie. And at times in my life, I saw giftings that I had, like giftings to talk to people, giftings to talk to youth, or I invent games at our youth a lot. They're like, what are we doing today? I said, well, we've got a hula hoop, we've got a football and a frisbee. Let's see. And let's see what, give me 5 minutes. And so I make up a game, right? And so that's a, I love that gifting and stuff. But if I saw it as I had to do that, like it's a gift that God gave me. If I put it in the wrong aspect, it becomes a burden, right? And so what can happen as you walk your life is you have all these giftings, but if you think you're constantly having to perform to do these giftings, then what happens is you crush people. And sometimes even I can say me, I'm not going to point anybody out because I don't do that. But me, as being a leader, I've seen giftings in people's lives, and I've called it out, and it kept pushing them, and I've crushed them with my expectation. Right? And so as you watch the movie, you start seeing there's a trend. The house starts cracking and falling apart, right? And Mirabel, I think I said it right. There we go. So she's the only one seeing it, right? She's, and everyone's like, oh, nothing's wrong. You're just crazy. And she's the only one seeing it. And so what happens is she feels this burden to figure out what's going on. So I was praying to God. I was like, God, so all these people have giftings, and they're using them constantly, and you see it affecting them. What's the consequences of using a gifting with the expectation in it when it turns into a burden, or whenever it overwhelms you, or when you get to that place of, like, you're putting an expectation on yourself that God didn't with that calling and destiny and gifting. And so he talked to me about, first off, the grandma. The grandma had such a burden, like, had such an expectation and desire to see them do well with their giftings and to help the city and to be a person who helped maintain and hold everything together. She put this unrealistic expectation on these people. Right? If you were slightly off, you never got a, oh, good job, thank you for doing that. You got a, here's the next task. Hey, here's the plan for the day. You do this, this, and this. And once you're done with that, find something else to do. Right? And you can even hear it in when they're doing the gifting ceremony at the beginning. She said, we got to figure out a way to use Antonio's gift to help the city. And it's like, we'll figure out a way today. That's one of the goals, right? Because he spoke to animals. And at times, that probably could be helpful. But figuring out a way that would be helpful every day would be difficult. And so that's her expectation of that day. I really like the Lisa, the strong one. It really struck a chord with me at times. Because I've even said it before. I might not be able to do the job like as efficient or as well as other people, but I can outwork you. I will work hard enough to where I can outwork you, and at some point, me working like that, I'll get to a place to where my knowledge base or whatever, I'm the best, right? That was my goal growing up. And at times that I've done some freedom prayer, talking to God, that's been my goal to certain extents at times, and I have to go, wait, God, what are you saying? So she was strong, but you know what's crazy is her family saw that strength, but didn't realize that it wasn't pain-free, right? In her song, she says, the family says, give her the weight of the family, or in sense, basically give Louisa the burden of the family. She can take it. And she might be strong, but that doesn't mean she doesn't feel things. That doesn't mean she doesn't have emotions that whenever she's carrying the burdens of the family. You see in the little song she does, there's a point where the doors stack up and the door's starting to fall on her sister. And she runs in there to catch it, and it's starting to crush them. And it's actually her door, right? And God spoke to me and said, you know, whenever your gifting becomes a burden or a requirement, she always felt like she had to be strong to protect her family. And isn't that crazy? I mean, how many times in my life have I felt like that, you know? Like with my kids, my family. I've had a lot of, in the last 5 years, I've had a lot of family stuff go on. And it's difficult. Even, I would say, even 7 years. About 7 years ago, I lost my grandpa. He was like always there for me. Ever since then, there's just been a few family things a year, right? And so at times I have to check that and go, God, you know, I'm not just going to power through this emotion and bury it. I know you gave me this emotion. I need you to talk to me about that. I need God to walk me through that. So I put in here, when gifting seen as the goal, the end goal instead of the byproduct of a relationship, it turns into a crushing burden instead of a blessing that God gave you. And I believe that about my life. I have giftings. Every one of us has giftings in here. And when you turn it into the end goal to always use your gifting, it crushes you versus being something that God gave you to walk in relationship with Him. And so then you've got Isabella, the person who's practically perfect. And she felt like she always had to make the right decision. If you listen to her song, she felt like she constantly had to make the right decision. And you hear that she wasn't perfect in everything by just naturally. You can hear in her song, she talks about how she practiced poses and how she feels like she was going to marry someone just because she was doing it for the family. She didn't even want to get married to the person, right? But it was expected to make the right decision to uphold the family name, to do all this stuff, to bring kids to. And you see her break out, right? So then Bruno also strikes me. He touches my heart because Bruno felt like his gifting wasn't helpful. It didn't have a place. Like, he'd give words, he'd give prophetic, I call him prophetic. He'd see into the future, and they were always negative, and no one was ever happy with it. Then the house starts falling apart, and they ask him to, and it has Mirabelle in it, right, in the word. And through that, like, it didn't look good. So rather than bring about a word that could possibly harm her, he chose to leave. And he left. And that's just crazy to me that I look at it, and whenever I see this type of stuff, I look at people that haven't left on, like, just left normal, but like have been hurt and left. And I see it and I'm like, man, so what happened? How does that work? How does that go together? And God just started talking to me about how he felt like it brought sadness, and he felt like he didn't have a place. His gifting didn't have a place. And so if he wasn't useful, he wasn't going to be around, right? And so God just started talking to me about people who've left that have gotten hurt, or people that have left, or even friends of mine who have giftings that aren't using, like, understanding how to use them. And just talking to me about how I can talk to them and how I can fully, like, love them and show them love. In a little bit, I'm going to talk about what Mirabelle did through these. The aunt always felt like she had to be happy, wasn't allowed to feel any feeling outside happiness, because if she did, it would bring rain or hurricane. You can hear in the story about how her wedding was in a hurricane because she had so much emotions, and everyone's telling her, control your emotions, and box them up and just be happy, right? You see it throughout the movie. Dolores, she had the ability to hear very well, hear from afar, and she longed to have a relationship with somebody, a close relationship with somebody. But her gifting was best used from a distance, right? She could hear things from afar. And so instead of being close with people, she felt like she always had to be at a distance. Antonio, the guy who could hear, you could see it in the first part of the movie. He had such fear about this ceremony because the expectations of what happened to Mirabel, and how he was expected to do well, like it was crushing him. And he didn't want, like he hid. He couldn't take it. He didn't want, how I see it is he couldn't take the fear of failure, of not meeting expectations of the family, right? The Camilo, the guy who always changed to other people, no one ever wanted him for who he was. They wanted who he could be, right? Julieta, and this one kind of strikes me too, it's the mom. She talks about how her brother lost his way in the family. And I started thinking about it. Her gifting's healing, right? Restoration, bring stuff into order. And she couldn't fix it. She couldn't fix the problem with her brother. She couldn't fix the problem with her daughter. And she had fear about that, right? And I think about that. I think about like people I used to know that used to come here that are just broken. And I'm like, I can't fix that. You know, there's been times in my life I'm like, I would love to fix that. I would love to help you. But I don't know how. And it might not even, I'm just really thinking about this one guy. It might not even be where I'm called to. God might be moving in someone else to help. And I'm just here to love him, right? And I felt like this throughout my life. I felt like there's times where I'm expected to be strong. There's times where I'm supposed to hear for direction for different things. There's times where I'm wanted to be something I'm not. I feel like there's been times where I've put expectations on myself. Or where my giftings didn't have a place with Bruno. And I just started talking to God about, especially this last 5 years, he's been really talking, and I've just been going through these emotions and talking to Pastor Allen and Pastor Tim just about how this, like, if I live in this place, it's a quick place for being overwhelmed and being burnt out, right? And just being really crushed with this burden. I deal with a lot of people who are suicidal with my work and having psychiatric issues. And I watch them and I'm like, man, that used to be someone that operated normally in a daily life. But something broke, right? And something crushed, or I don't know all the medical terminology. I don't know all about their life, but something happened in their life and it changed. And now they operate this way. And so God just was talking to me and then he said, man, an amazing thing happened. And I was like, well, what? And he said, the house started to crumble and the candles started going out. I was like, what do you mean by that? Like, that's not, from outside, that looks like a mess, right? And I was like, man, I really don't understand what's happening. He said, what was happening underneath was being brought to light so it could be dealt with, right? So that we could understand where the foundation or where the expectations were wrong, right? It was crushing the family around them. And so it started to affect the house in which they actually lived. And God said, but there was a solution. And the house knew the solution. And it was Mirabel. She didn't have a door. But what she brought to the family was so much more than a door, right? It was so much more than a singular gifting. It was who she was. And what's crazy is she always thought she was lesser or not the same or not as good because she didn't have a gifting. She was, even in the community, she was looked down upon. And the kids, when she's singing that first song, they're like, oh, I'd be so sad. And she's like, no, I get to do this. Or she's trying to work and just work and work and work and work and doesn't understand that what was needed just was her, right? And what happened was she actually brought restoration to the family through who she was. With her, the sister who was strong, she sat there and listened to that song, listened to what she was experiencing personally, emotionally, physically, all these things. She listened. At the end, and God highlighted this, at the end, she gave her a hug. And I was like, well, that doesn't seem much, you know. But in a hug, I'm not expecting anything, right? She didn't even expect a hug back, right? She ran up and gave the hug because she didn't want, what God spoke to me was, by her doing this, she didn't want anything from her, but she just wanted to show her love and that she was there for her, that she would listen. And in her words, she said, I think you're doing too much. She didn't want her to do more. She wanted her to do less. And what's crazy is that in that, it completely changed. Like, she had a conversation. At first, she wasn't telling her anything was wrong. After that, she was telling her stuff was wrong. She was speaking to her. And she brought a restoration to her, right? Bruno, she listened to him. He spoke, and she understood that he longed to have connection with the family, that he loved the family when the majority of the family thought he just didn't care. That he just ran out on them and left them high and dry. But really, he cared. That's why he stayed. That's why he watched. That's why he stayed in the house, right? He loved his family. And God spoke to me. He said, man, how many people that have experienced burnout still, I still love them. They still love me. But because of that, they feel that distance, right? I love what she told him, and this is just so powerful. He told her, hey, if you fix the miracle, come visit me where I'm at. And she said, when I fix the miracle, I'm going to bring you home, right? Man, what a powerful statement. In a Disney movie. All this is in a Disney movie. She's going to bring restoration. She's going to bring him back to the family and restore him to where he was. Isabel, she listened. All these, she really just listened, right? She listened to what they had to say. And they had an argument. There was something between them. It wasn't easy conversation at first. But as she listened, she understood the constant pressure she was under, right? And she embraced her for not the perfect image in which she portrayed, but the imperfections in which she had, right? She understood, hey, you know, I see where you're talking and where you're at. And I love you for where you're at, not what I need you for, or where the image you can perform and show everyone, right? And shortly after this, there was a tipping point in the home movie, right? The grandma comes up and they have a heated argument. And at that point, all those years of patching, acting like nothing was wrong, us bottling stuff up, us covering up, us acting like, oh, I'm perfectly fine. I can walk this out. I can do this. I always told people, oh, I can stack chairs and clean up stuff. I can do whatever you need me. Nothing's wrong. Oh, don't pray for me. Pray for, you know, but after all those years of covering that up, it finally came to a head and it crumbled and the whole house fell apart. And in that moment, Mirabel felt like she failed. And she left the family. She left and went to this quiet place, this creek, because she needed to just sit there. And in that moment, the grandma came and met her there. And what's crazy about that place is that's the place where the miracle started, right? That's the place where all their whole house, their family, everything started. And they look back on the story they watch the story in the first part of the movie, and they look back, but there's a difference between the two. In the first one, it's like the husband dies in it, and she's like, oh, and they move on, right? But then, after everything fell apart, and all the bottling up, and all the masking, all the covering of the cracks, all that stopped, right? There was nothing to cover up anymore. You saw the true emotion of that moment and how she was broken. And how it wasn't just them. They could have got through, honestly. If you look at it, like there's a group of, it looks like 1,000 people, maybe, I don't know. And in all honesty, they were young. They were carrying just 3 kids. They could have pushed through and got past where those people had never touched them, right? But in that moment, the grandfather decided he was going to stop and try to stop these, not just like fight them. He tried to stop them and convince them to leave, right? He decided that his life, it'd be better for him to try to save all these people versus him just pushing through and getting away, right? He decided he wanted to try to save these people. In that, he lost his life. And in that moment, a miracle was made, right? They say a miracle. The miracle was him, right? He sacrificed so that others could live, right? And gosh, that is not the gospel. I don't know what is, right? I mean, so that, it's just crazy to me that this is in a Disney movie, you know? Like, the grandfather, he laid his life down so others that could live. And out of that, a miracle happened. And out of that, not just him experiencing life, but everyone around him experienced a life that was greater than what they could have had, right? And so, as you walk through that, and they stopped covering up their emotions, and the grandma walked Maribel through the emotion, she didn't cover it up. For years, she covered it up and just told a story. But this was the truth of what happened that day. And Maribel understood, and she said, the miracle actually is that you, Grandma. Like, Grandpa laid his life down, he gave it all for us, for everyone in the city, and then you were blessed, right? God blessed you. God blessed us with the ability to walk in power and anointing from a young age, like we believe here. We believe that our kids can walk in power. I believe that my son can walk and see angels and talk to God and all this stuff, right? And so out of God, Jesus laying his life down, we're able to walk this out and walk this life out, right? And so what's crazy is, first off, in that moment, after talking to the granddaughter, the grandma was actually able to mourn that moment. And you see it, that these butterflies started just coming out of nowhere and just circling them. And I love this portion of it. The Bruno comes running back to say, hey, it's not her. It's not her fault. And try to, like, not save her, basically. And the grandma just gave him a hug, and they took him back to the family. And when they went back to the family, they didn't have their gifting still. They didn't have a house. As one of the relatives pointed out, that's not a house. You know, they didn't have a house. They didn't have anything. But their family was restored, right? And so as they started bringing the house back, as they started building, they gathered together. They had no special giftings. The community came with them, and they built this house. There's still no power in it. There's still no gifting. There's still no magic. And they came around them, and what Bruno says is just so powerful. He tells Maribel, he said, you're the real gift. Open it. Let us in. And God spoke to me. He said, the true gifting was in the person. The true miracle was the people around him. And that as she put the final piece in the door, her doorknob, the miracle came back. The house came alive. And quite literally, instead of having a bedroom in which she would go and rest, she actually had the door to the house to where people would enter. And God said that through her being who she's called to be and restoring the family and pursuing this and not just going, oh, I don't have a gifting, and sitting to the side and just taking your seat and just watching everything go on. She actually passionately pursued restoration and restored her family, restored the house, and through that, she was able to walk. People were able to enter into the miracle that weren't able to enter into the miracle before because she decided to be a doorway and not just a door to her room. Something, and then as I'm preparing for this, it's another movie, but I think it ties in really well. God started talking to me about today and what He's wanting to do. He's wanting to you just to come to Him as you are, with your burdens, with things that you felt responsible to do, with your expectations of what your life should look like. I'm almost 30. I should be this. And I'm looking at other people, seeing their success, and we live in this expectation, right? Constantly thinking I should do better, be better, all this stuff. And God said, I want to take you as you are, the way you are. And I want to bring to light what you truly are. He wants to bring restoration today. Whether it be a relationship, whether it be personally in our lives, whatever it looks like, He's going to restore stuff today. I was preparing for this again, and God talked to me. It's another movie. It's about Toy Story. There's an end part where, if you haven't seen the movie, it's a good movie. Buzz, one of the toys, gets captured, and he gets taped to a rocket, and he's going to get blown up. And Woody, and God spoke to me, and He said, Woody, in his darkest moment, no one's around that He knows, no one's with Him, it's just Him, and He wants to save His friend, His only friend at that time. And He looks around, and He sees these toys, and these toys have been pulled apart and put together different wrong ways by this same kid. And they're just broken. They're just, at first they thought they were scary. And he went up to them and said, hey, I need your help. And they wouldn't fit the mold of a normal toy. Like, I wouldn't hand one of my kids this toy, right? It's weird looking. It's got all these stuff, right? Because he slapped it together. But as Woody made a plan, he used each individual toy with how they were built and who they were. And some, they had like a little fishing pole attached to legs, and he used that. And he used, one was attached to a skateboard, he used that. And it all fit together. And God said, you know, Woody didn't use a brand new toy out of a box. He used what they were. He didn't ask them to be something else. He didn't ask them. And I might not look like exactly what the mold looks like. I might not act the same way. I might not, but because of who I am and how I've been made and how I carry myself and what God's placed in my life, I'm the perfect person to be where I'm at. You know, if he had any other toys, he couldn't accomplish it, right? He needed who was there, right? And no matter what it looks like, no matter what I look like, I know God's gifted me for a moment, for this church, for where I'm at, right? And so, don't look at your life. He used, and God spoke to me and said, He uses even things that we see that aren't good. Like, oh, you don't know how I lived my life my first 20 years. Oh, that doesn't matter. God's going to use it, right? God's going to use you to speak. God's going to use you in this area. He wants, but He has to bring that restoration. And so we're going to play a song, and it just talks about, it's called Overwhelming by Jeremy Riddle. And it talks about how we can feel overwhelmed. And in the chorus, it talks about all He wants is God. And so in this moment, as we go through this, I want us just to focus and just listen and go, God, what are You bringing about restoration in my life? Where's an area that You're calling me? What are You doing today in my life? And so as we listen to this, get intimate with Him, get personal. Don't bottle up the emotions anymore, right? Don't try to hide stuff. Don't try. Guys, we're all family, right? No matter what it looks like, just experience God in that way. Whether it means you need to lay on the floor. There's no judgment here, okay? Whatever it looks like to encounter God in this moment, do it. If you need to If God's calling you to talk to someone, pray, and after the song, maybe go talk to them. Whatever that might look like, but just take this moment just to pursue God. So we're going to play this real quick.